time to put that work away for a Thursday. We're heading home with the sports rush. Four down, one to go with this work week, and it feels good to be cruising into a nice Thursday night with a Thirsty Thursday at Parkview Field. Tin Caps take on the Date Dragons tonight, 7:05, 6:45, the pregame show. With Mike Maz on the call coming up this hour here on the Sports Rush, we've got a lineup of guests, and this is a trio of fantastic guests that we've lined up. Connor Asijan, the soon-to-be senior at Central Noble. It's been a very eventful summer for Connor Asijan. He is now picking up some really big-time offers. The latest that he got was from Butler yesterday, but he is in Las Vegas. He's getting set to play some basketball, and we're going to talk to him in just a couple of minutes. Also, Jeff Brohm, Purdue football coach. Time for Big Ten Media Days. They started today. Jeff Brohm will face the throng of reporters tomorrow down at Lucas Oil Stadium, but we've got him on the show coming up in about 15 minutes from now. We'll talk about the Boilermakers, the decision at quarterback, David Bell, one of the best offensive weapons in the entire Big Ten Conference. Plenty of things to talk to Jeff Brohm about. We've got him at 5:20. And then Tommy Schegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director. He'll join us. We've got a special Tommy's Top 5 coming up. And it is based on Colts football and the Colts opening up their training camp coming up in about another week. So we have got that all coming up this hour right here on the Sports Rush. Of course, Big Ten Media Days have gotten started down at Lucas Oil Stadium. One of the big questions coaches are being asked about is the NIL, name, image, likeness, how that's going to alter the NCAA landscape, especially NCAA football, recruiting, etc. And a lot of the coaches are being asked about that. And we'll see if we've got time to talk to Jeff Brohm about that. I know it's a limited time frame that we've got with Coach Brohm, but it will be interesting to get his take on how it impacts a school like Purdue. And you know, you're in a smaller town, you're outside of Indianapolis. Does NIL, is it going to change the recruiting landscape for the Purdue Boilermakers? What impact will it have? But we might be able to get that in with Jeff Brohm as well. But that's been a popular question that's being asked of coaches. So we'll cover it all right here on the Sports Rush. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got our special High School Football Media Day. Our Sports Rush special from 4 to 6, we will have the High School Football Media Day special with coaches from area schools. We'll talk to them for the 2 hours from the SAC, the NEA, the ACAC. Join us 4 to 6 tomorrow right here on the Sports Rush. We have been talking about it for about the past week, about the kind of summer that Connor Asijan, the standout guard from Central Noble, about his summer and how not only he's played some terrific basketball, but he has also gotten noticed by a number of pretty big schools, and the offers are now really coming in. He continues to go all around the country playing travel basketball during this summer. In fact, right now he's out in Las Vegas, but he is also here on the Sports Rush joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Is Central Noble standout Connor Asijan? Connor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great for us to finally connect with you. And you're in Las Vegas, right? I know we usually find out at 6 o'clock what the temperature is in Vegas every day. But is it a little bit hot out there in Vegas?
Oh, it definitely is, especially compared to Indiana.
But it's a dry heat, Connor. Shouldn't be too bad. It's a dry heat.
Oh, man, that's what they tell you, but it's pretty hot out here.
Well, I appreciate taking time to talk to us from Las Vegas. What has you in Vegas? What's the event going on this week?
So we're actually in a tournament. It's called the Las Vegas Classic. I think there's about 140 teams in it.
Wow. You know, and I was going to talk to you about that. Going to high school at a school like Central Noble, I mean, a lot of the competition, because of conference affiliation, is kind of set. And, you know, colleges like to see how you match up, how you compare against higher level talent. Seems like this summer you've been challenged, but you've really risen to that challenge.
Yeah, no, this summer has definitely been very eye-opening for sure. Definitely playing in the Adidas circuit has helped and kind of given me just a bigger variety of kids to go against and play and kind of show what I can do against that talent as well. So this summer's definitely been very good for that.
How has your game developed? Where is your game at as far as what you wanted to do? I know you've always been known as a shooter, but, you know, in completing kind of an all-around game that college coaches are looking for, what have you seen develop in your own game?
Yeah, I've definitely seen just my athleticism, definitely defending the ball, and kind of just being able to finish and through contact around the basket as well, just throw out bigger guys and having to guard quicker guys too. So those aspects I've definitely seen growth for sure.
Your list of offers, I mean, I don't know how you're keeping track of all this, but I'll go ahead and refresh you because this is the list. I went through and tried to collect all of the names that you have mentioned over the last year and a half on your Twitter account. And I've got Butler, Wake Forest, Creighton, Illinois State, George Mason, Rice, Wofford, Murray State, Eastern Illinois, Loyola Chicago, Bowling Green, Milwaukee, Ball State, Elon, Toledo, Northern Kentucky, Valpo, IUPUI, Western Michigan, Belmont, Furman, Lipscomb, Northwood, Indiana Wesleyan, Southern Indiana, and Purdue Fort Wayne. Did I get most of them covered?
I'd say that sounds like a good chunk of them. Yep.
How do you go through this process? I mean, obviously the offers are still coming in, but is there a point that you have to start saying, okay, here's what my priorities are, and these schools meet the checklist? I mean, where's the process begin for you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a little bit of that. Here recently, actually, we've kind of started letting schools know that I'll be moving on, just to kind of give them an opportunity to get out and see different kids, but also to help give my stress level a reliever as well, to kind of move on and kind of just look at the bigger picture. So here recently, we've kind of cut some schools. Earlier, we were kind of getting to know a little bit of everyone, but here we'll kind of be moving on with a certain amount of number, but also allowing new schools to come in as well.
And what is it that you're looking for? I mean, do you want to play Power Conference basketball? You might get that opportunity. I mean, we talked about this and said every kid is totally different. And we could look at this list and say, oh, well, Butler, biggest school in the area, that would make sense. But we're not you. And we don't know what it is that makes you comfortable. And I always remind people, you play college basketball on the court 80 hours during a season, but you spend hundreds and hundreds of hours with those teammates, with that coach, in that system. And so there's so much more on that campus. There's so much more that you've got to look at besides just, you know, how high ranked are they? How big a school are they? Where does your checklist start? What's the first thing you want to see out of a school to make the cut?
Yeah, so the first and main thing that I'm really looking for that would kind of set schools apart from each other would be like the culture, just like the teammates and the coaches. I mean, like you said, that's who I'm going to be with throughout most of my time in college, off the court even. So I want to make sure I'm around good guys that have the same dreams and goals as mine as well, and just people that want to compete too, and a coaching staff that I can trust, kind of like a father figure as well. So that's really what I'd say is the main thing that kind of separates schools from one another.
You said you're making some cuts. I guess when you get into the fall, that'd be the time, I suppose, you want to go make your official visits. How many will you have time to realistically go see?
So we haven't like made any decisions on how many we're going to do yet, but it probably won't be too many just because of time. I know there's a lot of schools that the spots have been starting to fill up here just because of whole COVID and everyone trying to make sure everything's done early. So there won't be a crazy amount of time to get out and see a bunch of schools. So we're definitely going to have to make sure that it's what I want. And by then, I'll probably have a pretty good idea of what my final schools will be. So that'll make it a little bit easier of kind of what I'm looking for.
Are we going to be seeing some kind of announcement on your Twitter? What are your plans as far as letting people know who are the finalists and when you're making your decision?
So this weekend's kind of like the last live period for college coaches to come out and watch. So I'm kind of going to see what happens after this weekend and see what new colleges end up pulling the trigger and what my options are then. And then probably in the next, I'd say week or so, you'll probably be seeing kind of like a top schools, and then I'll be going from there.
Let's talk a little bit about Central Noble. You've got 1 year left of high school. What kind of goals have you set for yourself as far as going into this senior season?
Yeah, so obviously we want to get the big three, which is kind of our goal that we've had throughout my last 3 years, which is regular season conference, conference tournament, and a sectional title. We were able to complete the two conference titles last year. We fell short of the sectional. So we're going for all three this year, and then hopefully after that sectional title, we want to make a deep state run and hopefully go all the way. Those are kind of the three main things that my goal is kind of for next year.
Do you think about Mr. Basketball?
It's definitely been something I've thought about. I know for me growing up in Indiana, it's a dream to kind of achieve that. So I mean, it would be awesome. I know I'm definitely trying to make a push for that as well. So it's definitely been on my mind as well.
What is the schedule going to be like? Have you got any ideas for Central Noble? Because that's one thing. You play at a point that is so far from the center part of the state, and a lot of times Mr. Basketball voting is going to be based on exposure, getting a chance to get games down in the Indy area and other parts of the state. Do you have any idea what the schedule is going to look like for Central Noble this year?
I know there was a couple of contracts or schools that dropped us after this past year. So I know we're kind of looking for some bigger schools. I know I'm pretty sure we're playing Bar Reeve down in Indy this year. Oh. So that'll help as well. But we're kind of just looking to see. I know it'll mostly probably be around the same type of schedule as last year. But what would really help in that aspect would just be going deep in state as well. I know that's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also kind of just personally, I'd kind of like to see you and Fletcher Lawyer go head to head at least once during your senior year.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I know me and Fletch, we're tight, so it'd be really good to kind of go at each other. I know we actually played each other this summer once, so it'd definitely be good to go at each other in school season as well.
Who had the most points?
I'm not sure. It was a pretty good battle.
I'm not sure meant he did, right?
I'm going to say he probably did.
Well, you know, you got to get it scheduled. You got to get a chance to get even with him. So
I got to get him back now.
Yeah, you owe him one, man. You owe him. All right. Well, and how many people are going to know about what happened in the summer? The one that'll make the headlines is when you go at it in high school ball. So, hey, congratulations on all the great success that you've had this summer, all the interest you've had from colleges. Can't wait to hear how you're going to finalize your list and where ultimately you're going to decide to go. But we definitely want to keep in touch with you and hope we have a chance to talk to you again.
Absolutely. I would definitely love to talk to you guys again. I appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. And have a great time in Vegas. I know you can't
have
too much fun, but have fun playing basketball at least.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
That is Connor Asesian. He's joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Sounds like we're not too far away from getting this list narrowed down. He said maybe sometime next week. So we'll keep an eye on Connor Asesian's Twitter. What do you have his Twitter open, Caleb? Because I don't have his Twitter account. Oh, you know what? I do. I have to look it up. This is going to make some great radio right now because I've got to actually go in and see what his Twitter is. It is at C Asesian, which is C-E-S-S-E-G-I-N. G-I-A-N. I think I'm sitting here reading it. I misspelled it. C-E-S-S-E-G-I-A-N. Seijin. I would be terrible at that spelling bee. I watched that on replay the other day. I can't even spell a word right when I'm reading it on the piece of paper. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. We're going to take it to a break. Jeff Brohm is going to join us. Purdue football coach. He's up next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Anything that you've got to say about the program, anything that's on your mind. Maybe it's about Purdue football. You can get all those questions to us simply by texting us at 46862. Of course, we're getting geared up. We've got another Purdue football season coming your way here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Time to get it started. Big Ten Media Days taking place today and tomorrow down in Indianapolis. But before he takes the podium, he actually jumps on with us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It is Purdue football coach Jeff Brohm. Coach, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Doing great. Ready to get this thing started and have a real season of football this year. It had to be kind of tough over the last year with just the six games, a 2-4 record, but you were within a touchdown of every game. Up, down, it didn't matter. One score games. What do you learn about a football team when you play close games, even though you only had six of them?
Well, we're looking forward to this upcoming season. I know last year didn't quite go the way we wanted, but, you know, that's life and that's football, and you learn from it. But yes, I think we've got a competitive football team that had our chances last year, weren't able to finish, need to do quite a few things a little bit better in all areas. And I think if we concentrate on really just working on those small things, playing with great effort, you know, playing us together as a team, I really think we can do some good things. And we're going to have great challenges here. A lot of great teams on our schedule, very competitive each and every week. And that's what we look forward to, is playing the Big Ten Conference schedule. And, of course, out of conference, we've got Oregon State and Notre Dame as well. And, you know, this is going to be an opportunity for our guys to show what they're all about.
Speaking of showing what they're about, you've got a quarterback situation. Where does it stand right now between O'Connell and Plummer?
We feel like we got a healthy quarterback room. Aiden O'Connell, Jack Plummer, both guys have played for us, have done some good things, have helped us win some games. It's all been beneficial. They're going to compete for the starting spot along with Austin Burton, who was a transfer from UCLA that has some ability, athleticism, and can do some really good things. He was just green in the offense last year. Then even Michael Lamo was a true freshman that's got probably the livest arm of the group, has some good athleticism, and we really feel like we can continue to improve that room. You're always probably going to need more than one guy, so it's important that you know, all guys are improving and getting better and ready to step on the field. But we'll, you know, it wouldn't shock me if we play more than one, but it'll be healthy if we can get through camp with one starter and roll with that, with other guys, you know, ready to come in whenever we need them.
Coach, I feel like this is the same question I asked you a couple of years ago, but I'm inserting a different name. How do you take advantage of the skill set and the dynamic playmaking ability of David Bell without burning him out?
I feel like that's one of our strengths, is getting our playmakers the ball. We had Rondell Moore, and he helped do some great things for us and led the country in receiving. Was an All-American as a true freshman. David Bell is a very outstanding football player that's worked extremely hard to improve each and every year. We're going to do our part and make sure he gets his touches. And, you know, there are going to be some teams that want to take him away, but we want to make sure maybe this year we move him around a little bit more, line him up at different areas so they can't kind of concentrate exactly on him. We do feel like we have other weapons as well, so we got to spread the ball around and run the football and have some balance. But David Bell is a very versatile athlete that has tremendous ball skills, can catch the ball in traffic, is a competitor. We want to keep him healthy, but at the same time, like you said, we do want to utilize all of our players and make sure that we're not putting too much on his plate.
With a deep quarterback room and some offensive skill position talent, I know a lot of times, especially under your system, the focus seems to be on the offensive side of the football. When you look at offense, defense, what are keys for your football team? Is it that the offense executes at the highest level, or is it that the defense has to match what the offense is capable of doing?
I think that this year we've got to step it up on defense and play much more aggressive, be an attacking defense, take a few more chances, you know, let our guys play freely, and do our part to be creative in that aspect. And, you know, I feel like we can get better there. I feel like we can give our players a better chance to succeed there. And you know what? Every once in a while we may give up something here and there, but I want to be able to take those chances. I think that'll help us. And on special teams, I think we need to improve there. We weren't as good as we needed to be. We gave up some big plays at times that can't happen. And offensively, I really think it comes down to, you know, not just making plays, but we've got to be more consistent running the football. We've got to make sure we take a little pressure off the passing game. We've got to make sure that we, you know, make the defense honor the run and put some extra guys up in there to help stop it, because I think that'll open up a lot of things for us.
We've got a Fort Wayne kid that's part of that defense. Just wondered what the expectations were this year for Lawrence Johnson out of Snyder.
We love Lawrence. He works extremely hard. He's a great teammate. Unfortunately, he had a little bit of injury in spring that set him back. But just the other day, he got fully cleared. I think he's eager to get back on the field. He does everything we ask. You know, like I said, his teammates respect him. He cares about this program. And I look forward to seeing big things from him this year.
Coach, I just want to prepare you for tomorrow, because it's been the topic of discussion around almost every NCAA sport, and that's those three letters, NIL. How do you see that impacting your program and college football in general?
You know, I think we'll be able to tell that in a year or two exactly what transpires from that. You know, I'm, of course, always open for all of our players, using those opportunities to better themselves and to take advantage of the work that they do on the field and off the field. Each individual and situation is going to be different, but we want all of our guys to be able to profit off of that and off of their brand. And I think all of them are going to understand that, while that's important, your product on the field and how you handle yourself off your business off the field is really going to dictate, the success you have with all that.
Certainly it's going to have an impact in some way on college football. We'll just see how it transpires down the road, but change is certainly on the way. Coach, look forward to the Purdue football season. Have a good day of media day tomorrow. Always appreciate you being generous with your time and jumping on with us here at the Sports Rush.
Okay, well, thank you guys, and have a good night.
Thank you. That is Coach Jeff Brohm joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, talking about his Purdue Boilermakers. Interesting. I don't know if he gave us a real perspective on NIL, because the question is going to be, I think, that it's going to circulate around a lot of college football, is what roles do coaches have? Is it going to impact recruiting? Is NIL going to be part of the package that you take to kids to try to recruit them? I know it's a major topic that's being discussed, and I think there's still too much cloudiness around it that a lot of the coaches still haven't figured out exactly what it means. They haven't dealt with it in recruiting. They haven't dealt with it within their program. I don't know, Caleb. I mean, to me, it does open up a can of worms. To me, I support the players being able to go out and make some money if it involves using their likeness. They've earned that. Everybody has a talent that they go out and make money based on their talent. And their talent just happens to be athletics. And I don't think they should be eliminated from working in the free market system if they can make money doing that. But the question is, okay, Purdue's got this with this marketing opportunity. Illinois's got this with this marketing opportunity. Is that the way kids are going to be recruited in the years to come?
I thought it was interesting how he mentioned the play on the field will dictate, and how you conduct yourself off the field will dictate those opportunities. And he is right. He's correct on that. I just wonder, like you said, how does this impact recruiting? And will schools focus more on putting together an NIL like campaign for recruits on what they're going to do, for a recruit as they come in? But also you have to wonder, how concerned are coaches of NIL becoming a distraction, especially this year in its first season for current players?
Right. I mean, they probably don't want to talk about it, but you have to ask the question, because it's going to have some type of impact on the sport, whether it shows up this year or down the road. It's going to impact college football as we know it. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. By the way, it was interesting in looking at what Purdue did last year, that they had six games all decided by a touchdown or less. So whether they won it or lost it, a lot of close games. Now, to me, those are losses and even wins that you can take something from, where you can look at key plays and how there's moments where you have to be able to execute or make a play that could be a game-changing moment. And so I think Purdue can take a lot from that. Are they able to improve based on that? It's going to be the question when you put a full schedule together and you include the likes of an Oregon State and a Notre Dame into your non-conference schedule. It will be interesting to see what Purdue has this year. And David Bell, I mean, he is right up there with Chris Olave as far as a guy that could be the Big Ten player of the year. In fact, I would think going into the Big Ten season that Bell and Olave from Ohio State are probably the two guys most people are talking about when it comes to Big Ten player of the year. Question is, for Bell, like for Olave at Ohio State, they're going to win their share of games and they're going to get national coverage. For Bell, is he going to get enough coverage nationally, and will Purdue win enough games to justify a vote for David Bell for Offensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. You know, that's going to be the question. Bell's going to have to get help from his teammates, because I think you can put up dynamic numbers, but if your team is 5-6 or 5-7, I don't know that you get the vote for Offensive Player of the Year if the other guy has a team that's 10-2 or 11-1. So we'll see what happens with the Purdue Boilermakers, but we appreciate Jeff Brohm taking time to talk to us here on The Sports Rush. We've got Tommy Shegler joining us next. Colts football. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about the Open Championship. Comes up with Tommy Shegler on the other side of the break. This is The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, tomorrow we've got a special edition of The Sports Rush live, almost, from the High School Football Media Day. It takes place tomorrow. We'll be there interviewing area coaches, giving you some analysis on what to expect with this high school football season that is now less than a month away, starting August 20th. We'll have the show tomorrow from 4 to 6 right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Speaking of high school football, someone that has always been an active part of our high school football coverage, and of course Parkview Sports Medicine will continue to do so here in 2021. The director of Parkview Sports Medicine, Tommy Shegler, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Rumpy, I got you.
Hey, good afternoon, buddy.
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Last week, we had a chance to see the Open Championship. I know you're a golf guy. You know, my problem, and I'll just say, golf really needs right now some type of a rivalry or a villain. This Koepka-DeChambeau rivalry needs to take place on the course. I mean, yeah, it's fun and comical, and it's viral as far as videos when you see the little antics they have around a practice green. But, you know, Colin Morikawa wins the Open Championship. He's such a likable, nice young guy. I just don't know if that's great for golf.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, like, how many villains have there been in the history of golf?
In some way, Tiger was a villain. I mean, in some ways, he was polarizing because the way he kind of isolated himself from other players, there was a certain stigma about Tiger that I think drove people to watch him, because half the people that watched him wanted to see him lose and half the people that watched him wanted to see him win. Colin Morikawa, can't say a bad thing about him.
No, I agree with that. I agree that, you know, people tuned in for certain reasons. The main reason, though, I think, was because Tiger was mesmerizing. I mean, his dominance was something that you just couldn't deny. And I think that that's what we're missing. And honestly, we've never seen anything like that before. So to, you know, think that it's going to happen again, you know, less than 10 years after it happened the first time, is probably silly. What I really wish, and I think this is what you're getting at, maybe not from the villain standpoint, but definitely from the rival standpoint, is I feel like we have a really good group of young players. You got six or seven of them that, to me, are interesting and intriguing different individuals. We just don't seem to get a couple of them shooting it out against each other on a routine basis. It seems like one of them, you know, shows up at one particular major and just kind of takes it, or he's right in it, but he's in it with a couple of people that maybe aren't as well known and aren't as interesting overall. So, I mean, I think that's what we're really missing, is just getting the Rorys, the Spieths, the DJs, the Koepkas, you know, so on and so forth. There's a couple more that you can name off in there in the final group against each other on the last day of a major.
Yeah. How long has it been since we've said, will you take this guy or would you take the field? Because we used to ask that question with Tiger Woods. That doesn't happen anymore. And so now you have this rotation of Morikawa, Spieth, and McIlroy, and Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson, and all these different guys that are capable of winning any week, but golf doesn't have a face of the franchise, so to speak. But I will say this, Colin Morikawa is one heck of a golfer, and maybe we're just seeing kind of the early stages of becoming that.
I mean, you gotta tip your hat to him, because what he's done in a very, very small sample to get two championships and eight majors played, that's the fewest that have happened since Bobby Jones that needed, you know, attempts you needed to get to two. So, and watching him on Sunday, unflappable. And that was one of the things that people loved about Tiger. I mean, he had several key situations where Spieth was coming. He had to hold him off. And if he doesn't drain some of those putts that he does, and we're not talking 4-3, 4 footers, we're talking 10-12 footers. So, you know, he was absolutely fantastic. And you're right. He very well could. He's definitely going to enter into that group that we just spoke about as one of those young guys that everybody looks for.
One of the youngsters in the game of golf, and getting already his second major out of just 8 majors played. All right, Tommy, I got to turn the page. We want to talk Colts football because we're only a week away from getting camp started. And with High School Football Media Day coming up tomorrow, you've got Big Ten Football Media Days taking place this week. You've got the Colts opening camp next week. Man, it's so good to know that football is back and that football is just around the corner. But I think there's some question marks with the Colts. And I talked about this earlier on the show, that I think there are some major questions for the Colts to answer as they open up their camp. And so I thought it would be fun to ask you to put together a top five, which would be the top five questions the Colts need to have answered prior to the start of the season. So are you ready for a very special edition of Tommy's Top Five?
Oh, I'm ready, my friend.
I knew you would be ready. Very good. Then let's get it started. And Tommy's top five this week, the five top questions the Colts need to answer during the preseason. Number five,
can the Colts win a home opener?
Just for coming up with a question, Tommy, you get a nice cheer from the gallery.
Fantastic. Colts have not won a week one game since 2013. They're 2-10 in their last 12 week one games. They open with the Seahawks. Of course, they were pretty good last year. And the Rams are wild card at Lucas Oil Stadium. Last 2-0 start was their Super Bowl year of 2009. So the first couple games could be really big for the Colts, and they're trying to break some strings and some trends that they've had over the last couple years in order to try to get the season off to a good start.
It's nice that they get the start at Lucas Oil Stadium. Up to number four.
How will the Colts manage the running game? Jonathan Taylor, almost 1,200 yards last year. He had 11 TDs. The Colts want to be a rushing team. Frank Reich has publicly identified him as the main guy. Of course, you got Marlon Mack, season-ending Achilles injury in week one in 2020. So kind of easy to forget about him and what he had done. Previous 2 years, Mack has been really, really good. So how are they going to be able to manage those two guys? Could it be running back by committee? We'll have to wait and see.
Strictly a big cheer just for the presentation. That was so professional. I tell you, Tommy, I think you could make a career out of it someday. All right, let's move up. We're at number three.
Did NFL draft answer Colts pass rusher needs?
Ooh, I like the way he delivered that one.
Justin Houston didn't re-sign after 2 seasons with the Colts. That leaves a big hole, 19 sacks over the last 2 years. So they did sign Autry from the Titans. He's had some good years in there. They also drafted a raw, talented pass rusher with the 21st overall selection. So we'll have to see. I think they're unproven right now, though, and it's really hard to expect a guy like Pay to be able to come in off of, you know, just being drafted and fill a hole. So I think that they're going to struggle in this spot. We'll see if they can get some of those guys that they signed to step up into that role that was left by Houston.
Getting closer and closer to the top. We've got number two.
Can the Colts protect with the offensive line on the blind side? Yeah, this is an important one when you got a guy like Wentz at quarterback, and we'll talk about him. But, you know, Anthony Costanzo retires after nine seasons with the Colts. That was 144 career starts, so we're going to have to wait and see. Eric Fisher, is he going to be healthy? They did sign him. I think they're hoping that he's going to be able to fill that role. He signed a one-year deal back in May, but he has definitely had some injury problems, tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship. So that will be interesting. Colts offensive line allowed 1.2 sacks per game in 2020. That was the second fewest in the NFL, and they need to have that kind of protection again if they want to get Carson Wentz back on track.
Absolutely, and it takes us all the way up to number one on Tommy's top five.
Speaking of Wentz, can Carson Wentz return to Pro Bowl form?
Yes.
I felt like that was a little bit extra applause. I really like that for number one. Of course, everybody knows the story. You know, he came back in March in the trade. Interesting career for Carson Wentz. I mean, last year he had 15 interceptions. He was sacked, though, 52 times. In overall in his career, he's had some really bright spots. And as most of those came early on when he had a good offensive line in front of him. It will be interesting to see how he does. I think a change of scenery will help. But there is no doubt that not only the first question, but all five of these questions are not something that anyone can really answer at this time of the year, but it's a lot of fun to kill 5 minutes of radio content.
And, well, we hope to get them answered soon. And, of course, with Carson Wentz, it might be a season-long evaluation period. But, of course, he did have those best years with Frank Reich as his offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Now, Frank Reich as the head coach, does that bring back the Carson Wentz magic? We certainly hope so if we're a Colts fan. Hey, Tommy, what's the latest with Parkview Sports Medicine?
Well, you mentioned it earlier in this segment. Tomorrow, pretty big day at Empowered Sports Club, one of our partnered sports facilities, one of four that we have in the region. The high school football media day, it's kind of the official kickoff to the sports season in general. It's always a day that, you know, I've had circled on my calendar and it's a lot of fun. We're lucky enough to be the host for it this year for high school football. We're going to have a lot of fun. I think there are 43 teams that were invited, so we are excited to welcome them in tomorrow, and I'm sure on TV stations, on ParkviewSportsMedicine.com, on radio stations, you'll be able to see a lot of what the players and coaches have to say, not only tomorrow night, but in the coming weeks leading up to week one of the season.
I know Caleb and I will both be there tomorrow, looking very forward to it. We'll say hello.
All right, great.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, buddy. Bye.
That is Tommy Shegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director, joining us here, as he does each week, on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Hey, don't forget, if you've got any kind of car problem or you just need some routine maintenance on your vehicle, take it to where I... It'd be exciting. Saw the news today that there is a possible large sports complex being developed where the auction park is up in the south side of Auburn, right along I-69. Would include at least 8 baseball fields. I know there's some soccer fields, indoor basketball courts they're building. I mean, I think it's kind of like the plan is to eventually develop it into almost a Westfield Grand Park type place. But that's in the works right now up in the Auburn area. Just about time to wrap it up here on the Sports Rush. Don't forget, we got TinCast Baseball coming up tonight, 7:05, a Thirsty Thursday. 6:45 will be the pregame show here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM with Mike Maz on the call for Tin Caps Baseball, as the Tin Caps try to win their second in a row against the Dayton Dragons after winning last night's game 9 to 3. Don't forget, we've got the Treetops Party coming up. We'll be high above Parkview Field enjoying a Thirsty Thursday on August 12th. We'd like to invite you to come join us. An all-you-can-eat food buffet plus beer, draft beer, bottled wine, and a commemorative T-shirt could all be yours. Check it out by going to 1380thefan.com. We'll come back tomorrow, our high school football media day show, right here with another edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.